I was really taken by Lal's sermon last week. And what he said, what he was talking about, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but when Rachel started this morning, she read a little bit from Colossians chapter 1. And it included the line, all things have been created through him, through Jesus, and for him, for Jesus. So all of this around us, all the world, the heavens, the earth above us, sorry, the earth below us and the heavens above us, created through Jesus and for Jesus. Now, it's time for our first quiz question. Jeremy, could I have the slide? I think that's why I need to be over at the side so I can see. What are the first instructions that are earliest recorded instructions that God gives to humans? We've got two options for you. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from that, you will certainly die. Or God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So, hands up if you think it's A. Okay, quite a few hands going up. And hands up if you think it's B. Yes. Okay, so one of you gets the prize. Okay, I'm going for Pina because I saw your hand first. All right. Pina, you're being gifted a toilet roll. Do you want to give it to her, James, or are you okay staying there? Do you want to do the... No, that's okay. Pina can come up. She can come up and pick one up. There you are. I'll set it there. God's first charge to us was to look after our earth, the earth that he has given us. How do you think we're doing at that job as humanity as a whole? I had coffee with a non-Christian friend this last week, and she said this to me. I mentioned to her that I was going to talk about the climate and the earth. And her response was, you'd think if Christians really believed that God had made the world, they would be more vocal and do more about looking after it. Ouch. The truth can be awkward sometimes and can hurt. Let's have the second question. The IPCC, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, met last week and issued their report, which is what prompted me, along with Psalm 24, to do this talk today. And they summarized the report, and I want to suggest one of three ways. Either code red for humanity, code amber, or code green. So who's going for code red? You have it. Yes, that's Martha? No, sorry, it was the little girl behind you, Martha. Martha, would you like to come up and pick a prize? Now, so these are all ecologically friendly prizes, I have to say, hence the green toilet rolls, which are going out. So we also have laundry capsules, if you have a washing machine, a dishwasher tablets, if you have both without any plastic and requiring a degree to get in, actually. They're so childproof, they're unbelievable. There is a little book for gardeners, if you have a garden. That's maybe not for you yet. And the last thing is a reusable bag that you can use for fruit and veg. And so you like to come and pick yourself something. Maybe your mum might help. You're going for the book. Number three. I might just step over here to read. Which of the following consequences are associated with climate change? The ice sheets are declining, glaciers are in retreat globally, and our oceans are more acidic than ever. Surface temperatures are setting new heat records each year. More extreme weather, like droughts, heat waves, and hurricanes. Global sea levels are rising at an alarmingly fast rate, 17 centimetres in the last century alone and going higher, or all of the above? Josie, yeah, you've got it. It's all of the above. Josie, would you like to come up and help yourself to something? You're welcome. All of these problems are associated with climate change, and 97% of climate scientists agree that many of the effects are caused by human contribution to the greenhouse effect. Extreme weather, droughts, heat waves, rising sea levels are, we know, already having devastating effects on the most vulnerable communities and parts of the world. It is the poor who suffer most with this. There is no question about that. Now, I have a stat down here which I'll read, but it's been updated even since I wrote it. The Indian Express reported last year that the Greater Hyderabad region, which is in the middle of southern India, recorded a maximum temperature of 44 degrees, and the surrounding district reached a maximum temperature of 47 degrees. The human body is 37 degrees. This is hotter than the human body, making it very difficult to cool down. And the ones who are impacted first and foremost by that are children who can't regulate their temperature and older people. And they just cannot survive in those high temperatures. Climate change affects the poorest and the most vulnerable. And so the IPCC said that immediate action is the only way to avoid ever worsening effects. And they listed a few things on the wildfires in California, Greece, and Turkey, floods in Germany, China, and England, and heat waves in Canada and Siberia. Who's ever heard of a heat wave in Siberia? Now, this is a topic that I can guarantee our younger members are more passionate about and more knowledgeable than most of us oldies. If you look at the Gen Zs, who are sort of from age 9 up to 24, it'll be really something that is on their heart, that is constantly on their mind. They talk to each other about it. They are far more aware than we are. And so as a church, if we're looking to meet with the young people, to speak to them in their language, well, actually, they are interested in this earth that God has given us stewardship over. And so when we speak to them, that needs to be part of what we're doing. But talking about the young people, the next question, next quiz slide, please, Jeremy. Who is the climate activist? I'll take hands for this. Not quite. Jeremy. Greta Thunberg. Yes. Can you come up now and get yourself a gift? Or we could allocate one. I'll tell you what. Would you like to bring one back to him? Do you have a washing machine, Jeremy? There we go. Do you know, out of the mouths of babes, all right, you get truth that teaches us. And actually, our generation, the adult generation, haven't been stepping up to deal with this issue. And it has taken a young woman, who I think was 14 or 15 when she started, Greta, to actually speak out. And she has a world platform now. And one of the things she has said this last week, the climate crisis must be treated as a crisis. Kind of common sense, really, but yeah, that's the way it is. So that leads me into my Psalm for this morning, Psalm 8. So Jeremy, if you wouldn't mind, let me read this. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. And here's the bit that relates to Greta Thunberg. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Greta Thunberg takes on the mightiest governments in the world, President Donald Trump being one who clashed really quite head-on clash with her. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them, in other words, humans, charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. So there in Genesis 1, we read that God has given us the world to look after. And that's a given reminder to us in Psalm 8, where children will be the ones to lead us, and that's exactly what's happening. And again, that it's still our responsibility to steward well what we have. So what can we do? What can we do with this picture? Next slide. Thanks, Jeremy. Right. One, two, three, four options. Divest from fossil fuel companies. Learn more about climate change. Vote for political candidates who will push to protect the climate with legislation and policy improvements. Or all of the above. All of the above. Did you get one already, Jose? You did, yes. Anybody else not? Anyone else answer that I didn't hear? Kathy? Up you come, Kathy. Would you like to come and pick something for yourself? So apparently, just 100 companies are responsible for 71% of global emissions. That's pretty grim, okay? And that's why I've put this slide up here. No matter what we can do as individuals on a tiny basis, in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, we still need to write letters to our MPs. We still need to vote carefully. We need to think if you have money to invest, if you have a pension, how your pension is invested. It all matters, okay? It all matters. The richest 1% of the world's population are responsible for more than twice as much carbon pollution as the 3.1 billion poorest. The climate crisis is all about power and money. We need a system change at the very highest of levels to change things, because what it does is it highlights the injustice. The rich get richer and the poor suffer from it. And so writing to our MPs, careful voting, marching in the streets to protest, whatever it is, are all ways we can exert influence. But this now is where we get on to the stuff that we can do, the easier stuff for us, the more manageable stuff. Jeremy, the next slide. True or false? Wasting less food is a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Is that true or false? True. Nicola, come up and grab something for yourself. You either have a reusable bag or a toilet roll. So more than a third of the food produced globally is wasted. A third is a massive amount. So if each of us play our part in using what we buy rather than throwing it away and leaving it in the bottom of the fridge, I can say that, I do that. Reducing waste, less food, reduces our carbon emissions. The next picture, thanks, Jeremy. That's not that clear, actually. Can somebody tell me why I might have put that photograph up there? Nope. Yeah, that's my holiday boat, yes. It was taken in 2015 in Northern Ireland on my holidays. Now, having given you that information, can anybody suggest why I might have put that photograph on there? No. No. Go on. Because I want to. Oh, so I look. I'm wearing the same shirt today. Okay. Did anybody notice that? You did. Okay. Right. You can have a toilet roll. Okay. Did you notice it? And then you've got it. Okay. You can. I'm wearing the same shirt. Okay. Consumerism. All right. The clue is in the word itself. When we buy things, we consume the world's resources. And one of the worst is female fashion, where young women are encouraged to get a new wardrobe every season, to throw away, buy t-shirts at a couple of pounds and then throw them away just because the colour is wrong. And that is a massive waste of our resources. And so one of the ways that we can make a difference is by looking to reuse clothes, to re-gift them to someone else. I found out just over one of the lockdowns that we've had, my daughter doesn't buy new clothes. She only buys secondhand, which that's not me. You know, it hadn't occurred to me. But that's what the younger generation are thinking to do now. And it's for ecological reasons. It's not for anything else. It's to save the planet. And so all of us here can make decisions on how often we buy new clothes. You challenge yourself to go without new clothes for a month, a year. I have a feeling somebody's coming.
Just to make a very brief point, that actually you can do almost as much simply by saving up and buying the good clothing, which then was you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. These trousers are an example. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's point is save money, buy ecologically friendly, buy cotton, buy good quality stuff that you can then keep and become classic pieces, which this blouse really isn't a classic piece, okay? Can I just say? But I thought it would illustrate the point this morning. And my final question. Thanks, Jeremy. I want to challenge you and encourage you that you will look for a minister and pray for a minister who will actually be involved in this and will actually be interested in looking after God's creation for the next generations of people to come in White Inch. Because if we don't, this is an opportunity for all of us to put our faith into action. And if not us, then who is going to do it? And if we don't do it now, then when are we going to do it? And so I encourage all of you just to start looking into the subject if you know little about it and to start making small changes. Everyone will be appreciated. Thank you. Now, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing the blessing and am I okay? Yeah, I'm right. We're going to sing the blessing. What I suggest we do is I'll tell you when we'll all stand up and all face the center of the room. So you can all catch eyes with somebody else so that as we sing it together, we're singing it literally over one another. Okay? And our two singers are going to lead us from the back of the room. Okay. Right. Let's pray together, folks. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful world that you have given us. Thank you for the glory, the splendor in the smallest thing, the littlest flower, right up to looking up at the night sky. And thank you that each one of those things reminds us of you, that this world was built through Jesus and for him. And I ask you that you would grant us your grace that we might exercise wise stewardship of this earth, that we might tread lightly upon it, that we might cherish all its resources, and that our children might enjoy its riches through all generations. And may your name be glorified through all that you have made. Amen.